The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Clav for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Clav.
And good evening on this sad day, the Yom HaShoah. And in the studio I have with me Thabo Mlangeni, who's the studio manager, assisting me through the program. And on the line from San Diego, Aubrey May Roberts and Tim Kitt. Aubrey May Roberts is the past president of the Lodge Edmund J. Safra, the Hebrew Order David Lodge in San Diego. And Tim Kitt is the current president of the Lodge, of that Lodge. The reason that I have Aubrey May Roberts on today, and it is quite poignant that it happens on the day of Yom HaShoah, is that in the recent, very tragic shooting incident in Poway in San Diego in the Chabad, Aubrey May Roberts happened to be in shul on the day at the time, and he's going to tell us his thoughts, his feelings, and all about what happened. Hello, Aubrey. Hello, Tim.
Hello. Hi, Stan. Good to be here.
Good. Aubrey, you with us?
Yes, Stan.
Aubrey, take us through your experience. By the way, the Jewish Report came out today and your interview is in there. So whilst I thought this was a coup, kudos to the Jewish Report who actually published some of what you had said and some other bits and pieces of what happened. But let's hear firsthand. You were in the shul and take it from here.
Okay. First of all, I have a choice of shuls to go to because of the distances in San Diego. And so I'm the closest to the Chabad in Poway. And that, I would say, is my mother shul, if you want to term it that way. Anyway, I got to...
Sorry, Aubrey, can you move your microphone around a little bit? I think that there's a loose connection. It sounds a bit fuzzy.
Oh. Built in. Okay, is that better?
Not quite, no.
If I make it louder. Is that a little bit better?
You know what? We're going to call you again. Would you mind... We'll just log off. We'll call you again. Okay. Tim, I think you can remain on the line because I think your line is pretty good.
That works for me. I'm here.
No, I think both lines are bad. We'll go to some announcements and come back to you in a few minutes. Thabo will connect with you now.
All right.
So, While we're getting that ready, just let me make some announcement. It's quite an interesting story about Aubrey, and his journey from South Africa to San Diego. He grew up and was a president of the lodge in Krugersdorp, which was the David Ben-Gurion Lodge, but we'll more to that later. Some announcements about the Hebrew Order of David. We're privileged on the 21st of May to have Springbok legend Joel Stransky coming to talk in an evening at the center. That's the HOD Center at 58 Oaklands Road, Orchards. And the talk is in aid of charity for people who need glasses and testing of glasses, which they don't get as a normal. It's a pet project of Joel Stransky's, and all the proceeds of the evening are going to that project. Joel Stransky will be talking at an evening at the HOD Center. That's the 21st of May. It's 7:30 for 8. You can come to the door. You will be getting emails, etc. But if you want to contact the HOD Center to book, it's 011-640-3017. Or you can email us at admin@hodavid.org. And we'll point you in the right direction and do the booking, etc. for you. You can pay. You will be able to use credit card facilities at the door. And we're looking forward to seeing you. That should be an interesting evening. The man who saved the World Cup in 1996 when South Africa won the World Cup. Since then, haven't had such a good showing. On the 16th of May, we have the Royals, which is evening, it's a morning of people who are. Elderly in the community, and they will be coming along to a morning with Ezra Scher, who's going to be singing. There'll be no recorded music or piano playing or any instruments. It'll just be singing from the voice, and apparently during the Ome that's acceptable. And if you come to the center, if you want to listen to a morning there, it's free. There will be refreshments afterwards. While we're still getting Aubrey Mayrovitz and Tim Kitt on the line, because we didn't have a very good line. One more project which the Hebrew Order of David is involved in, that's a day in the life of a Jew in South Africa. We ask that you send in a photograph or photographs of anything that's Jewish, and we will then allow you, we'll then post them on our web, website, and we'll also put them, include them at some point in the book, which we hope to publish. We're going to take a minute's break here quickly. If you just hold on, and then I'll be back with you.
Branding is what people say about you when you aren't in the room. To find out how High FM can work for your brand, call us on 010-140-4090. The man who stops advertising to save money is the man who stops the clock to save time. To find out how High FM can work for your business, call us on 010-140-4090. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And we're back with Aubrey Mayrovitz and Tim Kitt. And Aubrey, we were talking to you earlier when the line wasn't too good. And want to hear your experiences. Most unfortunate to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, but tell us what happened.
Well, I went to shul on Saturday morning, and I got there around 10:45, and the front doors of the shul were wide open, because Poway is a quiet little part of California. There's nothing around our shul, really. It's on a kind of a dead-end road, and a very laid-back community. But the doors are hardly ever closed, and whoever was coming in that day knew, must have known that. But anyway, I went into the shul at about 11:15. I heard, we were davening, reading the Torah, and I heard three shots, just like a popping sound, and I immediately realized that there's an attack of sorts. I got down under the pews and threw my talus over me, and I lay there quietly listening and counting the number of shots. At the same time, kind of, the women started screaming and the men were shouting, and I didn't see anything. Except I heard a total of 15 shots fired, and then the shouting, and then a kind of a silence. I waited for a few seconds to make sure no more shooting was going on. I got up, and I didn't seem to see anybody in the shul. There were about 80 people at the time, either in the synagogue itself or milling around in the reception area. And I got up and went out through an emergency exit. Now, all of that, the shooting and the attack, I don't think lasted more than a few seconds, but certainly less than a minute. And it was just so quick. But what I then did was, when I got outside, I made sure there was nobody else around with rifles or guns, and I saw two fellows from the community walking back up towards the shul. The road is very close by, and they've been chasing the shooter. at this point, I didn't know how many people were hurt, what the damage was. But the next thing, the one guy shouted out, hey, there he goes, and they got the registration number. And it was a little Toyota Corolla driven by a youngish-looking guy, and he whizzed past us and gone. I thought it would be a good idea if I could try to follow him and keep 911 informed as to where he was traveling. But our road at the Chabad leads to a T-junction, and the guy could turn left or right, and who knows where he would have gone to. So that was pointless. Coming back to the scene of the shooting, it's in a way it's tragic, but in a way we were so many miracles that happened there. The children, little children, were playing in the foyer of the shul, and the rabbi was walking up to go and finish reading the Haftorah, or start reading the Haftorah. And he was accosted by the shooter, and he put his hands up in front of his face, and miracle of miracles is that the bullet went through his one hand, injured, took the finger off the other hand, and didn't strike him in the body or the face.
Amazing.
It was. Then there were some really heroes around. Unfortunately, the lady who didn't make it was a really wonderful, wonderful, kind and charitable person. And she unfortunately, I think, took three or four bullets. I believe she protected one of the rabbis. And there was an unsung hero in the synagogue itself, was an off-duty Navy officer currently in the U.S. Navy, and his training had taught him to rush and shout at the attacker, which he did. He ran forward, and I had heard, when I was lying on the floor, I had heard enormously loud shouts from men. And I thought it was the three or four Israeli guys who had been at the back of the synagogue. But when I asked Oscar who had run up there with him, who had shouted, he said it was only him. I said, well, I've never heard such a loud shout. He said, he can't shout so loud. If his mother would be alive, she would tell you that it was the voice of the angels that helped him get to that volume.
Wow.
Well, the shouting put the attacker, bewildered him, and on top of that, his rifle that he was carrying jammed at that point. So he ended up turning and running away, and another congregant, Jonathan, works as a border patrol agent, and he had a handgun on him. And he tried firing at the car as it was leaving. And I found these two fellows walking back from the road as I was going down. It was kind of happened at the same time. The other casualties were three or four little girls were slightly wounded. But at the time, one didn't know it was slight wounds. Thank God that's what it is. They're all at home. Made it at home, and the one fellow from Israel rescued his niece who was visiting from Israel. And it was just a weird, weird feeling, and really a terrible blow to the congregation and to everybody who's involved with it. But I have to tell you that there was such an outburst of assistance and support and compassion. It was incredible. Laurie Kay was well known in the community, and she had 4,000 people come to a vigil on Tuesday night. On Sunday night, I think there were maybe 1,000 people at a park at a vigil. In the afternoon was the memorial ceremony for her, 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. 1,000 people came to stand outside the synagogue. Huge screens were put up. And inside the shul were another 700 people. And there were representatives there from the state, from the federal government, from education authorities, the mayors of towns, and the eulogies and the speaking, the talks that were given were just incredible. So it's an unfortunate part of life that we live in today, a fact of life, that there's danger all over. And there's a lot that can be talked about from the different aspects of why and how do we stop it, and what's the difference between violence in Israel, in South Africa, in America, in places like Ceylon and New Zealand, and places that have never had any trouble before.
Right.
And that's another discussion altogether.
So what is the
basically what's happened?
What is the mood of the community and the mood of the congregants of the shul? I mean, are they taking steps now? I suppose now that the horse is bolted, but taking steps within the community as far as security of the shuls are concerned. I mean, is there a movement towards that, or is it? Are we just accepting it in some way? Because I don't know whether you have such high security. I mean, in South Africa, we have a strong security system going, particularly in the Jewish community with a community security organization. But what is happening there? What's going forward?
Stan, it's been a bone of contention that I've often said to them, guys, you can't do this. You can't have services here and doors open. We've got to keep them closed. We've got to have security. And they said to me, not only at that shul, but at other synagogues as well. This is not Mexico City. It's not Johannesburg. Don't worry about it. We're fine. Well, that has changed. That is changing. Some synagogues have got some form of security. Some synagogues are getting them. The CSO equivalent is starting to be operational here. I know in Los Angeles. They are, and people are coming to realize that, yes, you have your constitutional rights, but there's the practicality of enforcing them or expecting them to protect you and so on. But they certainly need to put in security there, and I guess it's going to happen. But even after the shooting in on the East Coast, I forget what that city was.
Pittsburgh, Aubrey.
Pittsburgh, thank you. So in Pittsburgh, when that happened, our doors were closed and kept sealed for 2 weeks. And then, you know, it goes back to old habits. But I'm sure now we're going to have to do something and get the security taken care of.
Tim, you're in a different side of town in San Diego. What's the feeling?
Well, we all are in shock at this point, trying to wrap our heads around everything that has gone on. And, you know, from where I'm coming from, I've got two young kids, 4 and 6 years old, and my youngest goes to school, at a synagogue in town. And they actually sent out, an email to all of us about new security procedures that they are going to be going through. And you know, without going into the details of all of them, they've now increased their police presence. They're getting bulletproof glass on the windows. There's going to be new guards and guard stations. A lot of new security implementation now, that quite frankly, I think Aubrey said it best that, you know, people just really didn't think that there was, that something like this could happen in this city. But now that it's on our doorstep, everybody seems to be really taking it to heart, and hopefully we'll take action now and we'll use this experience to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Yes, it takes a tragedy to focus the mind, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay, so...
I just want to say one thing.
Sure, please.
That the Americans are very kind and gracious people, and they believe that the rest of the world also is like that. But, and so there's a huge amount of goodwill and good attitude towards your neighbor. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And this highlights it.
Yes, how's the, I mean, the family, they must be devastated. Are they coping? We wish the family long life and all the best. And, you know, may they only know, you know, happy times. But it's very sad that we have to actually be having this conversation because, you know, our connection with San Diego is through the Hebrew Order of David and the New Lodge, and it's a bad coincidence or a good coincidence that one of our brethren, our members, actually happened to be in the shul at the time. It's thank God we can talk to you and have this discussion.
You know, you're right. Things are meant to be when they're meant to be and how they're meant to be. And wherever we are, I guess what's meant to be for us, that's where it gets us. So the families, of course, they're shocked. And, you know, the rabbi so clearly said that those who believe have no questions, and those who aren't of a full belief have no answers.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very profound about sums words. It up.
So let's move away a little bit to that. Aubrey, I want to take you back because I remember 1978, 1979, you were the president of the David Ben-Gurion Lodge in Krugersdorp. In the heyday of the lodge, the Hebrew Order of David was thriving in South Africa. And then you up and left us and ended up in San Diego, where you now, after much pressure, I have to add, and resistance from your family, but I'm sure with good intent, started the lodge and have got together a lodge of the Hebrew Order of David in San Diego. And I was privileged to be at the consecration. And we have with us also Tim Kitt, who's now the... Timothy Kitt, he's an attorney who's the current president of the order, just been installed. So, Tim, give us some background of what is going on with the lodge and how it's thriving and where's the future. You're expecting another 10 lodges in San Diego, by the way.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I think San Diego is actually a perfect place for quite a few lodges. As Aubrey mentioned, San Diego is very spread out. And that's one of the unique challenges that we've dealt with in San Diego is trying to find a central location for all of us. But it certainly lends itself to having multiple lodges here. But, you know, it's been a great opportunity to start a lodge here in California, particularly in San Diego. We do have a fairly large Jewish population. We have had some challenges, but I kind of liken them to the similar challenges that the first lodge in Atlanta had, which is we are far away from the other lodges, of the order all across the world. And even in the United States, our closest lodge is probably a 4-hour flight away. So,
right.
We do have our own challenges in getting started, getting our name out there, getting recognized, finding location for our meetings that's central to everyone. Like I said, we tried to find something that was close or at least reasonably close to everybody. But we have a really good mix of, gentlemen that, you know, are young and old. We've got some families, young families like myself, who have young children, which have allowed us to kind of expand and get us all together. But this last year was really a great opportunity for all of us to get together, to get to know each other, and really kind of learn about the Hebrew Order of David, its history, and what we've all become a part of. Over the last year, we've had a few barbecues, park events, where we've done canned food drives. We've raised money for the IDF. We recently had a poker tournament where we were able to raise funds to send a child with developmental disability to summer camp. And we've had a karaoke night and really just trying to create events that allow us the opportunity to really get to know each other right now, because I think that that's an important aspect of a new lodge, of a new organization, where we are as spread out as we are in the city, and also compared to the lodges in North America and in the United States, that we really wanted to kind of connect with one another. And now that we've done that, we've got a great bond and a great group of individuals who are really ready to bring this lodge forward and hopefully add quite a few new members and really expand the Hebrew Order of David in San Diego.
Right, and just an apology from Daniel Sacco, who's your predecessor, the immediate past president, who was the first president. He apologized. He wasn't able to make this. I wanted him to be on as well. So I would have liked to get his take on things. Just want to get a bit of background also from Aubrey about how you came to the name. The name of the lodge is Edmund J. Safro, who was a Jewish philanthropist. And you can see his name on many buildings and places around the world, including Israel. And I've actually seen it on walls of different things, hospitals and so on. Aubrey, tell us a little bit about how you came to that name. Aubrey, by the way, is a long-standing brother of the order. As I said, came from, Krugersdorp, came to Johannesburg, came to Lodge Negev, which was my lodge, and then emigrated and, has been the person, the driving force behind opening the lodge. And, so you came up with a name and, tell us why.
I am involved in a study with the National Institute of Health in Washington, and I stayed at a cottage that houses 30 people. It's not such a cottage; it's a rather big,
I would say,
old house, beautiful. And on the side of the building was just a name. Edmund J. Safro Lodge. And I thought, the first time I went there, I didn't take much notice. The second time I went, I thought, who is this man that this building is named after? So I did a bit of research, and I discovered that he was born in Syria, I believe. Family was in banking and finance. And he moved to Lebanon, and I think then to South America, and then got involved in banking in America. And he gave a huge amount of money to charity, and he was a Parkinson's disease sufferer, and he lived in Monte Carlo in his later life, and at age 69, he unfortunately passed away because of a servant in the apartment complex where he lived. I just wanted to be a hero, and he set the apartment alight, hoping that he could go in and rescue Edmund. And that failed because whatever reason. And unfortunately, he passed away at a relatively early age. So when I saw his name and I saw what he had done for the Jewish community around the world, and even areas of non-Jewish community, I figured this is somebody to emulate. This is somebody whose memory needs to be kept alive. And if we can continue to be guided by the good deeds that he did, we would have most exceptional lodge.
It's an inspiration. It's an absolute inspiration.
So, that's what we did. And, you know, this lodge is founded and really run by Americans who didn't have any idea of what the HOD, how it was structured or what they do. All they knew is that here was an opportunity to have a fraternity of Jewish men, and there was an opportunity for them to have their children meet other children who had common goals and common ideas and common heritage. And it's a very different scenario in California, never mind in America, because we come here, we've got all different kinds of Jews. We've got from humanistic to ultra-Orthodox. So you've got Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, and ultra-Orthodox, and they don't really mix and blend together, and so I see the lodge as an opportunity to bring people from all different aspects of Jewish life together, and sometimes it's not easy because of the rules that are applicable to the HOD. But we have got a great group of people aged between, mostly between, I think, 30 and 40. And then we've got a few seniors, like, well, maybe they put me in the group of seniors, but...
Aubrey, didn't you just turn 22 yesterday?
That's what I feel like. That's what I feel like, but you know...
That's what you act like.
You know you're not 22 when you sit down at a restaurant and they say, bring you the over 55 menu without you asking for it.
If you want to get a true perspective of Aubrey's age, you want to go for a drive with him.
No.
Good luck.
Not for international news, so I think stay away. But, yeah, so that's working out as far as, if I come back to the makeup of the lodge, we have a wide variety and divergence of members. It's a challenge. There's no kosher restaurant in San Diego, for instance. There are two little coffee spots you can, or sandwich spots that are maybe, you can, they're kosher. That's all. And Tim said there's a large Jewish population in San Diego. I'm told it's somewhere around 100,000 people.
I mean, there's more Jews in South Africa than there are in the whole of South Africa. I mean, in San Diego than there are in the whole of South Africa.
Correct. And if you want to do a comparison of life, Jewish life here to Jewish life there, it would take another hour of the program.
Right.
Just because if you can believe that with 100,000 Jewish people, there is no kosher restaurant. And some have come, but they've all gone.
Right. Tim, give us, what is your thinking about this? I mean, do you think that there's a movement towards the order and people are wanting to join the fraternities? Is it something which, grabs the men in San Diego or in America in general? I mean, our experience has been good, but, and positive, but I'd like to hear from you.
Sure. No, I think that there's definitely a movement there. What attracted me initially was that there didn't seem to be a organization, particularly a fraternal organization, that allowed and really brought Jewish men together outside of the shul. And, you know, I'm a member of a Havarah at my synagogue and, you know, get together with people that way. But outside of that, there really wasn't anything. And that's what really drew me to begin with, as well as the charitable aspects of it. I think one of the important, parts of the Hebrew Order of David for me is charitable givings and being able to give back to the community. And I certainly see that, particularly in today's day and age, as something that draws people, particularly young people, where we've got young families and we're trying to look for purpose in our community and look for ways to reach out to our community. That is definitely a draw. And so I think that there is certainly a place for the order in San Diego and across the United States for this type of organization, that we can bring people together in this way and to provide the service that we do to others. And I think, you know, it will take time. I'm not...
We're not in a hurry. We've been around 115 years. We're going to be here for time to come.
Exactly, exactly. So it may take a little bit of time, but I certainly see this as something that can grow and grow into many lodges here in San Diego and in California. So I'm very proud of what we've done over the last year, and I'm certainly looking forward to the year that we've got ahead.
And on that same note, for those of your listeners who don't know, this is a great venue, a great place to come to for a vacation. And our installation next year is going to be, please God, in April, probably around the 15th or around that time. So anybody planning a trip, giving you lots of warning time to look and consider coming and visiting us, certainly lodge members from wherever they are who might hear this. If we can be of any help in getting you to come and visit us, just let us know.
And also, this is broadcast on streaming audio as well, so people can log into Chai FM. In addition, if anybody wants to call in, we're on WhatsApp at 061-895-1019. If somebody wants to send messages, they can send to SMS number 34519. Anybody wants to ask any questions, we'll happily answer them. We don't hold back. If you want to hear about Aubrey's experience or you want to submit amplification, please feel free. I was at your installation, at your consecration actually, the year before last, and I was very impressed with was it last year? Last year, yes.
Yeah.
It's a year ago. And, there was a group of very dedicated, very exuberant, young men. And I was impressed with the caliber of the people who joined the lodge. It was a pleasure to be with you, Aubrey. You were a magnificent host, but, we were welcomed, and there's such a connection with South Africa. Your vice president, Ian Garin, is ex-South African. Your Malcolm Zeman, his brother, lives in Sea Point in Johannesburg, in Cape Town, I should say, and he's the one that actually relayed the message from Aubrey about what happened in the shul in the first instance. That's how we got to know of it, and so the connection is strong. But I mean, it's Americans, and we welcome that side of it because that's the part where we anticipate the growth of the order.
Yeah.
Very important to us.
Yeah, and so there really are only three South Africans, I think, involved, and we've got a wonderful core of brethren who are really getting, I believe, Tim, from what I saw last night, we're getting more and more excited and committed and together than ever before.
Right, Aubrey, I want to, is there anything you want to say about what you do? You want to give yourself a punt? Anything work-wise related, or you want to give the lodge a punt a little bit more, let the people know exactly what you do?
I've been here for 23 years, and, do exports from the U.S., to other countries, specifically in the sports turf and farm machinery and anything else that you might need.
So it's a growing, it's a growing business.
It's a growing business, you say?
I hope.
Yes. And the other thing I do is I help people find motor cars. Buying a car in the U.S. or leasing it is quite an operation, quite a task. So I assist people in their choice, in their decisions, and in their car motoring life.
Right.
So that's what I do.
Okay, and Tim, you're an attorney.
Also paid respect.
Sorry.
I must also pay respect to my family, to my wife, Sherry.
Absolutely.
And to all the ladies of the lodge that allow us to do what we do, because going to lodge here is a lot different than in South Africa. You have an unlimited amount of babysitters available, and you have a different lifestyle, and it's much seems to be much easier to get to the meetings, to go on visits, and so on. It's a very big gap that's between yourselves and us here.
Sure.
But the guys are getting it done, and it's going to be wonderful.
Tim, just one thing, Aubrey, the rabbi in the Chabad, his name escapes me, the Argentinian rabbi.
Oh, no, no, Rabbi Polichenko.
Rabbi Polichenko's wife, his sister runs the ice cream shop here in Glen Hazel in Johannesburg, so there's another South African connection.
That's right. The Rebbetzin, and this is at another Chabad that I go to, her sister has that ice cream parlor next to
the Burger and Brew.
Nussbaum's, isn't it Nussbaum's?
Yes, that's right, in Glen Hazel.
Nussbaum's.
So we gave them a free punt. Tim.
It's wonderful. That's a great Italian ice cream.
Okay, enough. We're giving it too much free airtime. Tim.
I must tell you that Rabbi Goldstein from our shul had surgery on his hands, and he's today, this afternoon as we're speaking, probably at the White House in the Rose Garden.
Oh, wow. Wow,
meeting with the president, and he also took with him the two guys, Jonathan and Oscar.
Ah, fantastic.
And so it'll be exciting to hear from him when he gets back what that was all about.
Good. Sorry, Tim, I keep getting interrupted by Aubrey. I wanted to ask you, you're in, that's not unusual. Tim.
No, exactly. That's a familiar thing for me.
That's Tim, you know, you're an attorney in San Diego. Give yourself a punt. What do you do and what kind of work are you involved in?
Sure. I, like you said, I'm an attorney here in San Diego. I've been an attorney here for about 11 or 12 years now. I spent 9 years doing insurance coverage defense, and now work in a large firm doing foreclosure related litigation. So, you know, real estate related work. You know, I've just been enjoying my time here and try to get outside beautiful San Diego in the beach areas and spend time with my family, most of all, with my two young daughters and my wife. And, try to travel as much as I can. I actually have been to South Africa. I went there, let's say about 10 years ago with my father, went to Johannesburg and to Cape Town and had a fantastic experience there. So if I ever make my way back, I'll be sure to come out to the lodges out there.
Definitely. We wouldn't expect anything less. But as far as coming to South Africa today at 14 or 15 rand to the dollar, I mean, you know, South Africa is your oyster.
Well, then maybe I need to make a trip sooner rather than later.
Right. In terms of the running of the lodge, and you've just installed a new committee for the period starting now April, going back to next April, as Aubrey says. I think from what I can see, you've got a pretty strong team. I think you must be hopeful, and I'm sure you can rely on Daniel as the past president to help, and of course input from Aubrey at all times.
Absolutely, yeah. We've put together a great group of men to help us move forward in our second year, kind of refocus our energies and figure out what worked and what didn't work over the last year. And I think, you know, we've got a great team now in place that will help us move forward together. I always rely on Aubrey for information, and I certainly will rely on Daniel as well. We just last night had a happy hour together. Time coincidence that it was last night, but it really gave us an opportunity to all get together and provide comfort to one another for everything that happened over the last couple of days, but also give us an opportunity to really just break away from it and separate and just have a good time with each other. Coming up, we've got a couple service projects. We'll be participating in the Hunger Project, which is a feeding the homeless later here in May, and planning on doing a summer barbecue down at the beach, taking advantage of really the great weather we've got in San Diego. And also we have some great breweries and distilleries here in San Diego, so we probably will take advantage of that later this summer as well.
Look, two things that dominate all functions of the Hebrew Order of David. The first one, of course, is food. And then if you can throw in a little bit of liquor now and again, it also goes down well.
Yeah, we seem to draw the most people when there's liquor involved. So, we'll keep that in mind.
it's very hot. Okay, thank you. Okay, and I'm going to say thank you, Aubrey. I'm pleased to have been able to speak to you after your horrific experience. I mean, I just can't imagine what you went through and what the mind, how your mind is playing with us and thinking about things. And many times I've had this conversation over the last few days with you, and I can hear that you in the background that you're thinking about it and it's playing on your mind. And, I'm sure that the community will get through it and that to come out stronger, and our thoughts are with you at this
time.
Thank
you. I just need to tell you that I didn't really see anything because I was under the talus, and I didn't go out the way the shooter came in, so I was spared a lot of the grief and a lot of the reality. But so it still sits in you, and you still think about it. I can't imagine what it must be like for somebody who was there actually and who actually participated in it. I mean, so I came off so lucky. I thank God every day for that. And that's all I hope that never has to happen to anybody again, and that the world can sort itself out, and that we can. Well, there's a song that we sing in our choir. Natisiahu wrote it and sings it. It's called One Day.
Right. Okay. I'm going to thank you.
And deals with the theme of everybody living together, loving each other, and this one day children will play together.
Aubrey, thank you. I'm going to thank you at that point. Tim, thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. I hope to see you in my travels if I do manage to get back to San Diego, which I really want to spend some time next year going to different lodges again. I know that there's a conference in South Africa at the beginning of March, end of February, and there's also you have installations in Atlanta, and possibly I've managed to have the opportunity. But we certainly will always try to get one of the South African representatives at these functions, and I wish you luck and all the best for the year.
Thank you, Stan. Appreciate it, and hope to see you again soon.
Thank you. Thanks. Good night.
Thank you, Stan.
Good night. Bye-bye. Oh, it's good morning there, I suppose. It's early in the morning.
Yeah, now go have breakfast.
Okay, good. Enjoy.
Thank Take you. Care.
And have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, thank you for that opportunity. In San Diego, we were talking to Aubrey May Roberts, who was in the shul in Poway, the Chabad, and seriously went through an experience which I'm sure not anybody would like to have gone through, but he articulated it very well, and appreciate his time. Tim Kitt, the current president of the Lodge of the Hebrew Order of David International in San Diego, that's the Edmund J. Safra Lodge. If you want to get in touch with the Hebrew Order of David, it's admin@hodavid.org, or you can phone us on 011-640-3017. Just the note about the two functions that are coming up. That's one on the 16th of May. That's the Royals, which is for elderly people. You're welcome to come to the center. It starts at 10 a.m. And we're going to be Cantor Ezra Scher is going to be entertaining. And on the 21st of May, Springbok legend Joel Stransky will be addressing a meeting of the public, and you're welcome to come. The price is 80 Rand. It starts 7:30 for 8 on the 21st of May at the HOD Center also, which is in 58 Garden Road, 58 Oaklands Road, Orchards. And just come along, or you can phone the office and we'll help you with a booking, etc. Or just come to the door and you can pay with a credit card or cash. I wish everybody the rest of the day of Yom HaShoah, just a day of reflection, and also good Shabbos, and thank you from the HRD Hour, from Stan Claff.
Hi, my name is Roy Peretz and I own a pawn shop in Hyde Park called Cash In. I guarantee the best prices paid for gold jewelry. Bring your jewelry for free valuation. Come and enjoy a cup of coffee with me at my Cash In offices at 341 Jan Smuts Avenue in Hyde Park, right next to the Colony. Our telephone numbers are 011-325-7777. That's 011-325-7777. Don't forget, we pay more. And remember to see us after you've seen all the rest.
To Coffee Addicts, I'm a dealer, but you know me as Shmuel from Jersey Blue. Are you hungry? I know we are, to serve you. All our grab and go is made daily from the best quality fresh ingredients for you to enjoy. Jersey Blue is very focused on giving you the continuous coffee experience at 17 Northfield Avenue, Glen Hazel. See you there.
Branding is what people say about you when you aren't in the room. To find out how High FM can work for your brand, call us on 010-140-4090.